Now, the title of my talk is a little bit complicated, okay? It's a bit mysterious, okay? So do bear with me on this one. It's called Fragments of Happiness to Joy Unspeakable, okay? Fragments of Happiness to Joy Unspeakable. What do I mean by fragments of happiness? We all have sort of experiences where we experience happiness. Does that make sense? Where suddenly we have a happy moment. Usually it's unplanned. Usually something happens in our lives which we hadn't planned and we're happy for a minute. Does that make sense? And so I thought I'd share with you a few of my recent fragments of happiness. Is that okay? When we went on holiday to the New Forest a couple of weeks ago. So if we could have the next slide up, that would be tremendous. Here are some fragments of happiness. Okay, the first one, cycling along the track to the Burley Tea Rooms on tandems with my family and Millie the dog. And Millie the dog was racing along and she was weaving in and around the bicycles, and then she'd occasionally jump down into a bog and then come back up and then run across, and then she'd sort of shake herself. And for some reason that brought me a sort of a glimpse of happiness. Yeah, let's look at the next one. The next one is to do with cycling. We were just coming back in to the cycle hire shop. And Ruthie, my wife, was where is Ruthie? She's there, just there. She was cycling down a steep hill, and she fell off her bicycle. And it was, she was going quite slowly at the time, so she just sort of keeled over, and just lay there. And I'm really sorry, but I fell about laughing. And rather than going to help her, I summoned my daughter to come and take pictures of her lying in the dirt. You've got some pictures of that, have you, Emily? So if you want to see pictures of my wife lying in the dirt in Burley, you can go and ask her at the end of the service. Okay, another fragment of happiness. Or seeing a bird soar in the sky and then land in a tree, a big bird of prey. All sorts of things. And these are sort of brief glimpses. Does that make sense of happiness? But the problem with these brief glimpses is that they sort of fade. We know that, don't we? We know that photos fade. We know that memories fade. We know that experiences fade. And even on a bigger scale, we know that things move on. We know that generations move on. I'm going to be a grandfather in the summer. And someone asked me, are you happy with that idea? And I said, to begin with, no. It didn't bring me great joy. They assumed that I'd be joyous and that I'd be ecstatic at the thought that I'm going to be a grandfather. But my initial reaction was not, way, I'm going to be a grandfather. My initial reaction was, I've reached the third generation and then I'm going to die. That was when they told me, you're going to be a grandfather, Dave. That was immediately what I thought. I'm going to die. Sad, isn't it? And then I smiled sweetly and did all the right sort of grandfather noisy things and said, yeah, it's great. I'm really looking forward to it. It's tremendous. It's going to be such an important event in my life. And secretly, I was thinking inside, I'm now a grandfather, an old man, and I'm going to die. Sorry, that's just the way my mind works. And apologies. So, generations move on, and we all move on in history, don't we? And we die, and then new generations come up and take our place. And there's a sadness to that, isn't there? In fact, it's not just sad, it's criminal. I was thinking, what a criminal waste. What a criminal waste of lives. What a criminal waste of thoughts and memories and whatever. And I just think, you know, previous generations have all these happy memories, and then they just go and they're gone, and what a waste. Yeah, what a travesty of justice. That is awful. You know, it's all set to sort of just disappear and go as death overcomes it, and it all disappears into the past. Yeah? And then I was thinking, well, is there anything that can fight this waste? Is there anything that can defeat this waste? Is there anything that can conquer this waste? Is there anything that can, in a sense, deal with this waste? Yeah? And I'm here to say this morning, one thing can, only one thing, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah? The resurrection of Jesus Christ deals with the waste of sin, the waste of death, the waste of generations lost, the waste of everything moving on, the waste. Jesus' resurrection deals with it all. Yeah? And I want to talk about that this morning. Yeah? How does Jesus' resurrection deal with it all? I've got three brief points that I want to look at. Firstly, Jesus removes the price for our sin. Okay, the world's governed by rules, isn't it? Okay, there are sort of physical rules. Yeah, what goes up must come down. Yeah, Isaac Newton's law of gravity. Yeah, or for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Or do you mean, and those scientists amongst us will know more rules. It's interesting because Einstein said God doesn't play dice, didn't he? Seems odd that if God didn't exist and we were a result of chaos, surely this world would be more chaotic than it is. But anyway, I'll leave you with that. Park that thought. Yeah? And humanity is also bound by rules. Yeah? So when we do something, we get punished for it. Yeah? So similar rules apply to mankind. Yeah? When we do something wrong, the justice system kicks in and we go to courts and we get whatever, convicted or whatever. Yeah? And so, basically, there are rules both for the physical realm and also rules for the human realm. Yeah? And can I just say that the Bible says that God is the one who sets these rules in place. He sets the physical rules in place. He also sets the human rules in place. And here is a key rule that he sets in place, which is this, Romans 3:23. Next slide up, if we may. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means all. So everyone here this morning, I see all your beautiful smiling faces and I think you're such a sweet bunch of people. I think you're just lovely, but at the same time, you're all sinners. And so am I. Yeah? Now some of you might think, yeah, I can see that Dave's a sinner. Yeah, after his attitude towards his wife regarding that bike accident, you might think, yeah, I can believe that. Yeah, there are some here who might seem less sinful. Living saints, like the great Sylvia Foley at the back, for example. You might look at Sylvia and say, Sylvia is perfect. But can I just say, somewhere in the long distant past, many, many decades ago, when she was, I'm sure, very young, she probably did one small thing wrong. Made one little slip or something like that. I'm sure it's unlikely, but she did do it. And sadly, that make even Sylvia is a sinner amongst us today. And so we have this range, don't we, from me, the depths of the depths, as it were, of sinfulness, to Sylvia, who's only... But that means that we're all sinners, yeah? And the Bible says that the wage, the consequence, the result of sin is death. Yeah, death. And so why does everything die according to the Bible? Why do we die? Why does everything die? Because of the sin of man. That's what the Bible says. Because of the sin of man. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Death for the whole of creation. That's the price to be paid. And so the combination of those two verses is this principle that all that sins dies. Okay, well that's not great, is it? And so you have to ask yourself, well, what comes into this equation that breaks it up? What breaks this equation, all that sin dies? Yeah? What person or thing or whatever can break the equation, all that sin dies? Only one thing can, and that is someone who is without sin. Someone who has no sin. Yeah, someone who has no sin, who then dies, breaks the formula. Does that make sense? Cracks it open, reverses it. Yeah, I was trying to think of a sort of the reverse of a physical formula. I guess atoms that get broken apart and then you get an atomic bomb. Yeah, do you get that? That a law gets broken. Yeah? And in this case, the only law that can break this law of sin and death is Jesus, who is without sin. And he comes into the equation and he breaks it right open. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Yeah, on the cross, Jesus hoovered up all our sin. On the cross, Jesus soaked up all our sin just like a sponge. Isn't that amazing? That glorious exchange of his purity for our sinfulness. Yeah, so thinking back to the cross all those years ago, 2,000 odd years ago, yeah, and we think about the fact that every single one of our sin was transferred to Christ on that Good Friday and became his suffering, became his agony, became his torture. Yeah. And then he demonstrated that he could conquer sin by rising again. Yeah. You know, loads of people die, don't they? Loads of people died on crosses back in those days, and some of them would have died through miscarriages of justice. Some of them would have been innocent and they would have died anyway. Yeah, some of them might have claimed that their death had meaning. There are loads of people who are sort of heroes who die for you know, revolution, Che Guevara or whatever. There's a sense that death has meaning. But there's only one person who actually conquered death and in doing so proved that this formula could be broken. And that is Jesus Christ. So Jesus has the victory over sin. Secondly, Jesus has the victory over death. Let's get the next slide up. Again, we think about this principle about all dying. I did a bit of research on death, and apparently there's a mayfly that lives for less than 5 minutes. Isn't that extraordinary? Mayflies, in general, live for a day, apparently. They hatch and they burst forth and they do whatever they need to do, and then a day later they're gone. Yeah, apparently there's one species of mayfly that lives for less than 5 minutes. Yeah? And then we also have our sun that apparently has another 5 billion years to go before it too will die. And then we've got everything in between that also dies. Yeah, nothing goes on forever. You thought about that. Nothing, everything dies. But Jesus conquers death. Revelation 1:18 says this: I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Yeah, I'll say that again. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever. This is Jesus speaking, and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Yeah, Jesus captures the keys to death. Jesus is now in control of death. Yeah, I have these keys. I always lose my keys. Hands up who's losing their keys all the time. Only me, plus a couple of other dipsy people. Sorry, Roz. I hope you don't mind me called dipsy. I include myself within that. Fortunately, Jesus is not going to lose the keys. Okay? He has those keys secure. He has the keys to death. And there will come a time when he will reverse the whole process of life leading to death. And instead, life will lead to life. Life will be eternal. The dead will be raised. Yeah, Jesus holds the keys. Let's have the next verse up. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Again, that's 1 Corinthians 15. I love the old King James Version, which is why I've used it. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? When I was at college, I used to have a party trick. Yeah, it was an amazing party trick. I could take 7 rich tea biscuits, I could put them in my mouth, and then I could then rotate all 7 at the same time. Are you impressed with that? I was thinking of doing it for you this morning, actually. Would you like me to? No, you really wouldn't, because there'd just be slobber, and it'd be very unseemly. It'd be very inappropriate for Easter Sunday. But rotating 7 rich tea, I could swallow up 7 rich tea biscuits and rotate them. And this is the picture that we have of Jesus swallowing up death, of him just consuming it. And it goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? We had a prayer meeting this morning, and we had a little visitor to our prayer meeting, a little wasp, and he travelled around the different parties in the prayer meeting, and it was fascinating to look at their response. Yeah, some of them were calm, cool as a cucumber. Joe Jones, ex-police, really calm. I can handle a wasp, no trouble. Yeah. Some were a little bit flustered. Oh, little wasp. Just a little bit flustered. Yeah. And some got into a real state. Ah, wasp, shake, 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 lots of movement, run, 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 run. You know. And they all responded to the sting of the wasp that was potentially going to get them. Yeah, and the Bible says, and we can be the same with death, can't we? We can think, oh, I'm a bit afraid of this. Some can appear to be cool. Some can be, oh, I'm a bit afraid, yeah. But the Bible says death no longer has a sting for those who are in Christ. The sting is no longer there. It's been removed. Yeah, it has gone. Isn't that amazing? Okay, stings, yeah. And so finally, we have our final point, which is this. We will be raised with Christ. Again, I'm going to read this scripture. Again, I think from 1 Corinthians. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits is the very first person. If you're a, do you mean, it's like the brand new harvest, yeah, when you get something that's absolutely new. Yeah, that's called the first fruits. Yeah, and Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, that's Adam and Adam's sin, the resurrection of the dead, not just the resurrection of Christ, but the resurrection of all the dead, comes also through one man, that is Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. Yeah, do you see how Jesus reverses the whole cycle, the whole process? But each in turn, Christ first, the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him, those who've given their lives to Christ, are resurrected as well. And then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. So Christ will present the whole of the universe and the new heaven and the new earth. And he will present it to his Father. And he will destroy all dominion, authority, and power. Everything that's opposed to Christ will be removed. Yeah, it will just go as Christ deals with it. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death, as Christ takes out his keys and says, death, you're just no more. We need to recognize that when we have a new heaven and a new earth, everything will be fundamentally transformed. Death will cease to exist. Planets will no longer have ends. Universes will no longer have ends. Whatever, blue whales will no longer have ends. And mayflies that used to live for half an hour will live forever. Assuming there are mayflies, which we don't know. I'll add that. Yeah? Does that make sense? Everything changes. Everything changes with Christ when he returns. For he has put everything under his feet. And so what I want to say is fragments of happiness. If you go back to my original picture of these little fleeting moments of happiness that in a sense I know will go, that I know will fade, that will be lost. Yeah? Those fragments of happiness are just feeble compared to this unspeakable joy of knowing that Christ is alive. Yeah? Christ is alive. In being alive, he takes away our sin. In being alive, he conquers death. Yeah, and in being alive, we all look forward to an eternity in which he will reign supreme, in charge of everything. Yeah, the dead will be raised. We will be raised. Those who love him as their Lord and Savior will be raised to eternal life with him. That's amazing, isn't it? It's astonishing as we sort of absorb this stuff, as we see it, as we take it in. We think that is just outstanding what Jesus has done. And so can I just say, just join, we're going to have some more time of celebration. I think the kids are going to come back in, yeah, and we're going to celebrate again. In fact, if someone could just nip through and tell them that we are ready, that would be tremendous. Yeah, if someone could go to Tots and tell them that we're ready. But as they do that, I just want to pray. Yeah? We were sharing in the prayer meeting this morning about how Jesus breaks free from the tomb and death is turned to life and he breaks the shackles of death and comes alive. And someone prayed, I think it was Elizabeth, prayed about people being set free from the shackles of stuff that causes death. And I just want to pray that this morning. I just want to declare it. What better place than on Easter Sunday to declare freedom over slavery? And so, Lord, I just want to say, Lord Jesus, please, if anyone is in bondage to anything today, if anybody is in slavery to anything today, that means that they're not free. They're not free to worship. They're not free to enjoy this resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're not free to go out and in a sense, live the resurrection life. Lord, I pray that this morning you would liberate them in Jesus' name. Please, just bring freedom. Bring liberation. Bring resurrection freedom. And Lord, equally, Lord, I pray for people who don't have many fragments of happy memories, as it were. Their life is very few fragments, Lord. In a sense, most of the fragments that they have are unhappy. Lord, I pray again that you would come by your Holy Spirit and that you would bring unspeakable joy. In a sense, something that isn't momentary and comes from without and is fleetingly enjoyed, but something that is deep within. A joy that comes from knowing that eternity is secure. A joy that comes from knowing that Christ has forgiven sin. A joy that comes from knowing that he has conquered all things. A joy that comes from knowing that actually he will make everything okay in the end. And that he will sort out this mess. And that he will resolve these issues. And that he will cause all things to become new again. And so I just say, Lord, please fill us with that unspeakable joy of knowing you. So those two things, Lord, set people free and fill us with unspeakable joy in Jesus' precious name. Amen.